Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live on the air to address your questions or discuss your real-life issue by phone at 1-800-677-9377. Something you'd like to talk about, call right now, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open, and we await your phone call. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen and take part. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about grace and money. We've gone through the idea of worship. Jesus kind of drew a line in the sand and said you can't worship God and money at the same time. If you're devoted to one, you can't be devoted to the other. That's just a fact of life. The way of the world is running after money. It has become our idol. That's what the world worships. So we looked at it from that perspective. We've looked at it from the perspective of contentment. Why do we chase after money? Because we're not content in life, and we think money can buy us some things that will bring contentment in life. And so we chase after it, and we get it, and then we use it to buy new cars, new houses, new clothes, just all the things that the world says is going to make you happy. And we find out that stuff doesn't make us happy. And then we use it to buy power and prestige and status, and that doesn't make us happy either. So if we're going to be content in life, there's only one place to go. There's only one person to turn to, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's the one that can satisfy the deep longings of our hearts and our souls. And when we come to him, when we turn to him, when we trust him, we experience that contentment in life. Now, that contentment enables us to take a very objective viewpoint about money, to see it from God's perspective. And what we've talked about this week is the fact that we're not owners of the money that we have. We're simply stewards. God has placed it into our hands to be used according to his purposes. Now we're going to talk about giving, and that's what we're going to turn to for next week. What does the Word of God say about giving? Well, we're going to start today with the most basic verse in the Word of God. This is Basic Gospel. That seems to be a good place to start. It's John 3:16. For me, that was the very first Bible verse I memorized. Probably for you guys as well, yeah, I would assume. Yeah, John 3:16, I think most Christians know it. And, you know, if you're a sports fan, you see John 3:16 up on the signs of all the fans that are trying to get people to be aware of Christ and that sort of thing. So it's just out there. But here's what it says: for God so loved the world that he gave. What is a characteristic of love? Giving. God's very nature. That's his essence, love. And from that heart of love, he gave. And what he gave was his son. He gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Well, when we receive Jesus, the God of this universe takes up residence in us. We see time and time again in the New Testament, Christ in you, your hope of glory. So if you're a Christian, you have Jesus Christ living inside of you. We see several passages that talk about the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of us. So we have God's Spirit living inside of us. We see other passages that talk about God being in us. So that's what it means to be a Christian, to have God inside of you. That's what happens at new birth. You're born again, your spirit is quickened to life, and God comes to live in you through his Spirit. Well, if God so loved that he gave, guess what? He's going to be working inside of you. He's going to pour his love into your hearts, and that love is going to compel you to give. Give of your time, give of your resources, give of just all sorts of things to advance the kingdom of God. It's just part of being a Christian. You can't deny it. Sometimes we want to deny it. Sometimes we want to use our money to gratify the desires of the flesh. But there's still something inside that says, give and give generously. Well, what is that? That's the work of God's Spirit inside of you. In Philippians 2, Paul wrote this, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." So God is at work inside of us. Well, what is he working? Well, all sorts of things. Love, he's working joy, he's working peace, he's working patience, he's working that fruit of the Spirit, but he's also working giving, he's working forgiving, he's working all of that inside of us. Not for it to just sit, you know, just deep within. He's working it inside of us so it can work out of us into the lives of others. So if you have a desire to give, that's a God-given desire. That is a work of God's Spirit in your life. And if he's moving you to give, when you step out in faith and give of your resources, you're going to experience joy in making the gift. That is called the grace of giving. And we're going to talk more about that next week. We're going to look in detail at 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, and we're going to see all of the different attitudes that the grace of God instills inside of us that eventually moves us to actually make the gift. Yeah. A lot of people want to give, but they never give. But when the God of this universe works in your heart, he's going to actually move you to take that step. And we're going to talk about that next week, and we would love to talk about some of that on today's broadcast. So if you have questions about giving, there's always this question about tithing and how much are we supposed to give, what percentage are we supposed to give off the net or the gross, and you know, all of those sort of things. If those things have confused you, we would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Also, a lot of us just have a lot of guilt when it comes to money. I sometimes look at our personal finances, and I look at where we've spent money, and I feel guilty over that. It's not that we've spent it in bad places or anything like that, but it's just it just doesn't match what I want to do on the inside, and sometimes I look at that and feel guilty over it. But God keeps doing his work. If that's where you are, we would love to hear from you today on this edition of Basic Gospel.
1-800-677-9377. Friends, the lines are wide open. We are here for one reason only, and that is to address your questions by telephone, take you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution to your particular situation or question. So this is your best opportunity. Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time on the clock, plenty of time to fully explore your question on this edition of Basic Gospel. Well, let's go first to a question from John from Los Angeles. He said, I've been listening to a radio Bible show, and the host is saying with great authority and 50 years of Bible study that I can denounce my salvation. That's the question. Can I denounce my salvation? Once I've come to Jesus Christ, received his Holy Spirit, received his life, can I then denounce my salvation?
The answer is no. You cannot denounce your salvation. I mean, you may give lip service to that, but that doesn't change what Jesus Christ has done in a person's life. If a person's saved, they've been saved completely. Why? Because that's what Jesus does. He doesn't save you, and then if you just decide, hey, it's not going to work, you can just walk away. That's not how it works. This is a covenant that we've entered into. And God has made this covenant with himself, basically. He's made a promise, and he says, those I'm saving, I'm going to save completely. And so he's invested himself in us, and he's never going to walk away. That's just the nature of salvation. His death on the cross took away all of our sins, so the thing that killed us at the get-go is now removed. And so once we're in Christ, there's nothing there that could cause us to lose salvation. We just have to come to that point. Yeah. I know there are plenty of stories out there. There's anecdotal evidence just all over the planet about people who say they were Christians and believed and you know, studied the Bible, taught the Bible, did all of those sort of things, and then, 20 years into it, said, I don't believe anymore. And they just turned and walked away. And so you ask the question, what's their story? Were they saved and then now are lost? Or were they ever saved to begin with? And I think if somebody denounces, quote, their salvation, I think is proof that they never had salvation to begin with.
Right.
They merely gave lip service to the gospel message.
Yeah.
And we can pretend, we can act, we can do some great, great stuff that would make people look and say, wow, you really are God's guy. But it's not genuine. And the fact that somebody walks away proves to me that it wasn't genuine.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Bob. 1-800-677-9377. Want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Let's go to Michelle in El Paso, Texas. Hi, Michelle.
Hello. God bless you. Thank you for taking my call. I had a question. My husband and I, we recently came across a big blessing of a lump sum of money. And we're new in our walk in Christ. And I was just wondering, what would you recommend that we do? Because we want to help with our church, we want to give to some of the programs, and there's, because my husband has a good job, and so do we invest it for the future? I don't know what would be the best way that God would want us to.
Well, Michelle, I think what's important here is the fact that you and your husband sit down and discuss it and come up with a game plan together. You may have ideas of what needs to be done with the money, and I can guarantee you he has ideas. And probably a lot of those ideas aren't the same. So you need to bring all of that to the table. Maybe you go out to dinner together, or maybe you go for a picnic, or maybe you go for a weekend and just sit down and say, here's this money. What do we think God wants us to do with it? And come to an agreement, come to one mind, and then develop a plan and execute it. I think if I'm in your shoes, the first thing that I would do with it is say, how much of it do we want to give? And y'all set an amount. And that's just between the two of you and the Lord. You don't need to let anybody kind of tell you, well, you ought to give this percentage or that percentage. Y'all come up with a figure between the two of you as you are depending and abiding and trusting in the Lord. And then from there, figure out what you want to do with the rest of it. Set some priorities. If saving for the future is important to both of you, then that should be a pretty high priority. Put aside some and save it for the future. And then you just go down the list.
Yeah.
And that's how I would handle it if I'm in your shoes.
And making decisions of where you're being ministered to is very important.
Yes, indeed. But the key, Michelle, is for you and your husband to get on the same page.
Together.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Well, you are so welcome, Michelle. Let me put you on hold. I'll send you this resource that we have this month called Grace and Money. Would love to put it into your hands, and maybe that can be a help to you as you and your husband sit down and decide on what to do with this blessing that's come into your life.
Wonderful. Thank you. God bless you all.
You too. You hang on.
Thanks, Michelle. Well, Grace and Money is a 2-CD series by Bob Christopher, and we've made it available for a gift of any amount to the Basic Gospel Ministry. If you'd like to get a copy and bless the ministry at the same time, why, go online to basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right on the homepage, Grace and Money by Bob Christopher, yours for a gift of any amount. Or you can call and speak with our operator up to 5 o'clock Central Time today at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. Grace and Money, yours for a gift of any amount to the ministry.
Yes, indeed. And speaking of a gift to the ministry, right now we have a matching gift challenge. Several members of our board of directors said that they would pool some money together and that they would match any gift that came in between now and March 31st. dollar for dollar up to $25,000. So this is a wonderful opportunity to double the impact of your gift to Basic Gospel. So take advantage of that. If you give a gift of $100, it's like giving $200, which means you're reaching more people with the good news of Jesus Christ. So this is an opportune time to double the impact of your gift to Basic Gospel.
And you can still use the same contact information that I just gave, the website basicgospel.net, or our order line. You can speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828.
Let's go down to Levi, and who's listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Levi.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
We sure can. Coming through loud and clear.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you for addressing these harder issues that a lot of people want to circumvent. I wanted to ask you guys a question. It seems as though there is quite an industry growed up around the gospel of grace, which is a free gift from God. And there's a lot of money that exchanges hands over that. And I know that, for instance, the wife and I belonged to a large church in Tennessee there at one time, and we left due to the fact that we were tithing at that time. We understood that that's what we were required to do. We were relatively new Christians. But every other sermon was about money. And we knew there was a lot of people there that just could not afford to tithe, and some that did try and got into even more financial trouble because they felt the guilt complex that they had to do that. And so we left because we thought that was just a burden that a lot of people shouldn't be trying to carry. And also because, like I said, we were just tired of hearing it. We were paying more than 10% at that time, and it was always about money. And what is your thought, about the idea that there's so much money involved in something that's a free gift, and yet if you give one penny for something, it's no longer a free gift?
Well, Levi, that's right. I mean, money doesn't enter into salvation at all. It doesn't really enter into, our growth in Christ. But the fact of the matter is we live in a world that uses money to function. We all have to have money. It's one of those resources that God provides for us. We use it to buy food. We use it to buy clothes. We use it to buy transportation and shelter and all the things that we need as individuals. But it also can be a tool to help advance the kingdom of God. Ministries that have to function using money just like everyone else does. We can't have a radio broadcast, for example, without supporters giving money to help pay for the airtime. That's just a fact of life. But I think we have to talk about it in terms of God's grace. If somebody wants to give to our ministry, for example, I fully believe that that's a work of God's Spirit in that person's life. I don't want to try to guilt somebody into doing that. I don't want to try to put pressure on somebody to do that. I want to present a need and say, hey, here's an opportunity where you can partner with us in the gospel, and together we can reach out and help connect people to the love of Jesus Christ. Paul certainly needed support to go to the various places that he did to carry the gospel, and there were many groups that partnered with him. They provided the resources that he needed to travel from one place to the next. As a matter of fact, he was wanting to go all the way to Spain, and he wrote the book of Romans, and part of the reason for doing so is that, hey, I'm gonna stop there, and I want to encourage you, and I want to add to your faith, but I also want you to join with me in helping me get to Spain so I can take the gospel there. So there's this need. God is doing a work, and we can participate in what God is doing by offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, offering our time, and also offering our resources. And the resources that anybody offers, that needs to be between that person and God alone. And as the Spirit works in a person's life and moves him, then they have the joy and the privilege of stepping out in faith and sharing that gift so that others can be blessed. That's truly the grace of giving. Don't know if that answered all your question, but money is just a tool. It's just a resource. And if we allow God's Spirit to give us the proper perspective, then I think we can use it in a way that advances His kingdom and honors the Lord.
Well, I thank you for answering that question, and I'd like to ask one more. I always try to I want to be respectful of the other people's time, but the other day you did mention our station around Corpus Christi, because if you're not getting some support from it, you may have to let some stations go, and I understand that. I don't know what it takes to keep a keep you on in an area, and I don't know if that's fair to me to even ask, or if I should ask one of your phone screeners or something.
Well, Levi, I'll tell you, it's airtime there, I think, is about $1,500 a month, so it just takes about 50, 60 people given, you know, $25, $50 a month to keep a program on the air. You know, that sounds like just a few people giving a little bit, and that's exactly right. So we're trusting the Lord to move in the hearts of people to do that.
I appreciate the fact that you guys definitely do get out the truth about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I think it's a great benefit, and I think it's something that my wife and I would like to help support. And so I would call you again. I know all this month is based around this money issue, so I hope that maybe I can call back in with another question or two before this month is out, and God bless you guys.
Well, thanks, Levi. We certainly appreciate your call. Well, let's go to El Paso, Texas, and talk with Ann, listening to us on KELP. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I have a question. Okay, all the Faith of Movement pastors, like Joel Osteen, George Myers, whatnot, can cope with me. Do you believe that
let me jump in here. We're having a hard time hearing you, but I think I got the gist of your question.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Bible teachers. There's a lot of teachers out there who talk about faith, and they talk about faith as if it's a separate entity, a separate power, a power unto itself. And when you read the Bible, you realize that that's just not true. Faith only has substance when it's attached to Jesus Christ. It has to have an object to be meaningful. It said if Christ had not been raised from the dead, our faith would be futile. So our faith has to be tied to Jesus Christ and the work that He accomplished through His death, burial, and resurrection. We like to boast about how strong our faith is, and that's really a slap in the face to Jesus. Whatever we have, whoever we are, wherever we're going, it's because of Jesus Christ, because of what He's accomplished for us through His death, burial, and resurrection. So for faith to have any meaning, for faith to have substance, for faith to have value, it has to be attached to Jesus Christ. Well, Ann, hope that helps. We sure appreciate your question. Fantastic question.
Yes, indeed. As we close the broadcast, I want to mention again the same issue that Bob Christopher mentioned a little while ago, that we have an exciting matching gift challenge between now and the 31st, and you can double the reach of your ministry by joining us at Basic Gospel. Every contribution will be matched dollar for dollar up to $25,000. Normally, a gift of $175 reaches 500 people. Thanks to the Matching Gift Challenge, that same $175 gift can now reach 1,000 people with the gospel message. Of course, your gift of any amount is doubled, and so it's a perfect time to offer your most generous gift, whatever that might be, and really make it count to connect people to the love of Jesus Christ. Call 1-800-727-2828 today, up until 5 o'clock Central Time. That's 1-800-727-2828, or link online at basicgospel.net. And thank you for helping us broadcast the only message that matters with your matching gift. Just about out of time for this edition, everybody, and thanks to everybody who called to be a part of it. Thanks to those of you who just tuned in to be edified by what you've heard. And now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody.